The mixture of tequila and mezcal really gives you the sneezes.
Famously.
So we've had quite a few... You spilled mine.
No, I didn't.
It's the German pour.
Unbelievable.
Aperol Spritz. Aperol Spritz.
Aperol Spritz.
Just a little bit of snow.
Hey, now!
There we go.
Hello and welcome to At The Bar. Thank you for joining us again, and I'm very pleased to say that I'm joined, as always, by two of my favourite people to be at the bar with. Jack, barman extraordinaire, and I mean that when I say extraordinaire.
I'm here to serve you.
Wow.
Are you? That's interesting.
I'm humbly at your service.
What a lovely man. Talking of lovely men, John's with us, our producer, our oracle. You know all there is to know about anything that we need to know.
If I've looked it up in advance and written it on one of these cards, yes.
Have you been briefed in advance of today?
I've done a bit of research.
Fantastic. Well, in that case, then, let's put your research to good use. And why don't you tell us who our guests are today?
Should we bring them in?
I reckon.
It's interesting that you said guests as well, because this time we have two
Never been
guests.
Done before.
Double trouble.
Guests. Two absolute giants of the online food world.
Oh, I thought you meant they were... Giants.
They're normal size. Okay. Together with the rest of their crew, they have spent 14 years building a global community around cooking and entertainment.
Who could it be?
They have nearly 3 million subscribers on YouTube.
Collab post.
Let's welcome Barry and Jamie from Sorted Food.
Hey!
Hello, boys.
How's it going?
Hello.
How are we?
Very good. How are
nice
you?
Nice to see you at the bar.
Yeah, good to be here. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming.
It'll tickle. Right,
it'll tickle. I like that.
All right. How are you?
Now, before we get stuck into the chat, we always like to offer our guests a welcome drink. And we know that you both like a beer.
We do like a beer.
Just a classic like a lager.
Well, to be fair, Barry likes half a beer. So
I try my best. No, I think...
What, does that mean you're not a big drinker?
No, I'm... I love a classic lager,
yeah.
But when it gets a little bit too fancy, it becomes a little bit too hard work, and therefore I tend to not finish said beer.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you don't want anything a bit too crafty, a bit too... You just like simple...
I think so. It's when you, like, sometimes you go out on the Bermondsey Beer Mile.
Yeah, yeah.
All your mates, everyone's getting some delicious craft lagers.
It's a good day out.
And you're like, and I find, after my first one, like, this is going to be a long day. They're all quite flavoursome.
Barry's got a reputation for walking into the toilet with his beer, and when he walks out of the toilet, two-thirds of that beer is somehow gone.
No, that's not a reputation. Well, I was just caught the once.
But that's all right. The worst thing would be if he went into the toilet with his beer, and when he came out, there was more in it. That's when I'd start worrying.
We have done that a couple of times, actually.
Let me tell you about this one, though.
Thank you.
This is one of the best beers that you can have.
I know, I'd agree with that.
Yeah? It's actually one of my favourite beers of all time.
Oh, well, okay, wow.
No pressure to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So we've had quite a few... You spilled mine.
No, I didn't. It's the German pour.
Unbelievable.
So we've tried quite a few British beers on the show.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. British lagers, we've enjoyed those.
We have enjoyed
some great examples of the style, but this is one of the best in the world. It's from Germany. It's from Munich, specifically. This is from Augustiner. This is the Augustiner Helles. Based in Munich, widely regarded as the best lager in the world.
Wow. And I think that's justified.
A lot of pressure on this one. Originally brewed by monks nearly 800 years ago.
So it's quite old then.
Quite old. Yeah. It's quite old. It's been produced at the same site.
This is a fresh one though.
Oh, right. Obviously, yeah.
It's been produced at the same site for more than 300 years. It's maybe just four ingredients: water, hops, malted barley, yeast, unpasteurised. So it preserves more of those delicate hop aromas. Should we see if that's
what a
stands up to the research?
Yeah. I like the word hop aroma.
Cheers, my
cheers. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Great
to see you.
Sorted.
Cheers. Well, let's have a big swig of this. Not that big, Jack. Oh yes,
oh, that's superb.
Crisp.
So good.
And I've got to say, big shout out to John because he insisted we put this in the freezer for you to get it nice and cold. He's like, we've got to get this chilled down.
That first sip is so important.
It's vital.
Like, it's everything when it comes to a lager. It serves the moment here perfectly. It gets you to calm down and go, okay, right, I'm ready for, well, whatever's about to happen.
What does usually happen? Yeah.
Normal things, safe things.
Yeah, this is good. Great choice.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And something really nice about this beer as well. is that they give, it's owned by a foundation, and they give a lot of their profits to charities, local charities and good causes in the area around where the brewery is based.
A lot of is pretty vague, isn't it?
Let's not dig into the details. Well,
Jack wants more facts. Jack wants facts.
I believe 51% is owned by a foundation.
Oh, very good.
Is that so right?
The more I drink of it, the better it is for people that need help.
You're doing
correct.
We should save the children.
We should. But nice welcome check. Lads, if anyone doesn't know, and I'd find that hard to believe, you're recognisable faces, just tell us what you do, what sort it is, how it started out.
So we started, John, you tell the story. You were there.
I was around.
So when we, so we've known John for about 15 years.
Unlucky man, that's a long time.
We started, well, we were at school together, and we knew nothing about food whatsoever. I didn't really care about it either. One of our friends said he knew a little bit about it, and we were interested in to learn more. And that's kind of how it started. We just listened to him, tried to learn it, and then we realised there's a massive community out there of people who had the same sort of relationship with food as we did, didn't really care that much, but were just vaguely interested in the subject matter.
Yeah.
And then YouTube came around, it was a long time ago, and we were like, let's make some videos and see what stories we can tell around food that bring an audience along that journey with us. We met like a year or two into the start of Sorted. You were working for another production company and was interested in what we'd started and created. And John kind of helped us create formats in what we did. And that the show is based around lots of ridiculous formats. Like we've got a show called Pass It On, Poker Face, and many, many more. But that kind of honing of making formats, chucking it out on the internet and building a community around that was, I still thank John for.
I did very little, but we did do a pilot, which we tried to pitch to TV at the time called Sort Me Out.
Sort Me Out.
Where someone would have a dilemma or an issue in their life that we could solve through food.
Where is that footage?
It must be somewhere.
It's actually a good idea.
I think we camped outside someone's house.
It was good. It was very of the time, though. It was very Queer Eye.
It's slash, very Queer Eye slash In Between Us.
Slash, like, 60-second
okay,
makeover.
There's a time. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was intense. But, like, it was... I would love to find the footage of that, or at least a screen grab. I can't think where that would be.
We'll dig it out.
Alice Levine was in there. She replaced Jamie.
Well, yeah, this is the thing. So there was a group of us friends from school who started Sorted, and then when this idea came up, we had to audition to be in our own show.
Your own...
And I didn't get in.
I
didn't get in.
It's great.
Oh, that could have been the fork in the road for all of you, really.
It could have been. But this is great. So we want you here because we want to get to know the sort of drinks that you like, which I feel like we're getting already. But one way of doing that is by playing a game called Winner Stays On.
Okay.
John will tell you more.
So we've started with the beers, but obviously we're in a bar, so we should probably bring it back to cocktails.
Okay.
So we're going to play a game called Winner Stays On. I will give you two choices to start. A little bit different this time. You guys have to agree on your favourite of the two before I present you with the next challenger, and we go on from there.
It's mean, that, isn't it, to make you agree? It's mean.
So strap in.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Strap in.
Stop saying strap in. What, is that your new catchphrase? Every week he's all got a new catchphrase.
I just said it twice.
Because it's his catchphrase, he wants it very clear.
Strap on, boys.
Strap in.
Strap on.
Strap in.
Give me a wink and I'll strap in.
Margarita or old fashioned?
Old fashioned? Old fashioned, I think.
Would you?
Yeah?
I would say margarita now. Yeah, times have changed.
Oh, okay, interesting. So where are you going? Is this quickfire?
You've got to decide between yourselves.
I'm happy with old fashioned.
Old fashioned.
Okay. Old fashioned or Negroni?
Negroni, yes.
Negroni or espresso martini?
Negroni.
Negroni or whiskey sour?
Oh, no, you do like a whiskey sour, don't you? You do like a whiskey sour.
You guys are cute.
Yeah, but you don't.
I do, but I would still prefer a Negroni.
Okay, all right,
are you happy with that? Negroni.
Caved. Negroni or pina colada?
Negroni.
Negroni or martini?
Gin or vodka?
Up to you.
Doesn't matter, Negroni.
Martini of choice.
Yeah, I'll stick with Negroni. Negroni. Negroni's fine.
He was glaring at you, though.
Don't you dare. It's just like...
Negroni or daiquiri?
Negroni.
Iced daiquiris, though, in New Orleans. Very nice. Negroni.
Negroni or Bloody Mary?
Negroni. No, oh, okay, don't we're you saying, freaking we're... dare.
Oh, I love a Bloody Mary.
Can't. spare them.
Only before 11 a.m. though. After that,
my kind of drink.
It's a brunch drink. No. But Negroni, that's fine.
Negroni's doing very well here. Negroni or Mai Tai?
I don't know enough about Mai Tai.
We defer to our
resident. I've got an expert here. If you need any,
it's a tiki drink. It means out of this world, and it's got rum, lime, orgeat, which tastes like almonds, and some orange. I don't know why I'm whispering.
You'd really like that, wouldn't you?
Hang on, it means out of this world.
Mai Tai is like, I think it's a, it's Haitian for out of this world.
Ooh. Well. That's why you're here, mate.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm on the big bucks.
Yeah. They are delicious.
If you're wrong, it'd be really funny.
Yeah, seriously. I can say anything right now.
I believe you.
It actually means your mum loves to drink.
My mum's dead, mate. I find that quite offensive. She's not. She's alive and well. She's alive and well.
Yeah, we'll see about
the time
that.
Of recording.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she's close.
So are we taking Mai Tai?
Negroni.
Negroni or Amaretto Sour?
Yeah. Oh, you've just touched his button. You have touched his button.
My legs.
Are we going to disagree on this?
I can't not say Amaretto Sour.
You love an Amaretto Sour?
I'm a basic bee.
You know, if you like an Amaretto Sour, you'd love a Mai Tai because they taste the same. It's just better, actually, because it's got more rum, less almond.
Amaretto.
Back.
No. Sorry.
Amaretto just hits the spot for me.
The sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like grown-up drinkable Haribo.
It's not really that grown-up, though, is it?
Negroni or Amaretto Sour? Back to the question.
I know it's your favourite drink in the world, so I'm happy to go with you on Amaretto Sour.
That's nice.
Thank you.
That's what marriage is
That's
all about.
Nice. Amaretto Sour.
Compromise.
Amaretto Sour or Aperol Spritz?
Aperol Spritz.
Aperol Spritz.
Sorry.
Aperol Spritz.
Hey, guys. Nice. Very nice.
I brought you over to Amaretto and they just killed it.
It was a very short-lived romance.
You have an Aperol Spritz? Spritz.
What do you like about it?
Sorry, Kyle. It's furious, isn't it? It's f***ing furious.
I like the...
I love 2p coins.
Yeah.
It just tastes a bit like...
I really like the bitterness of an Aperol Spritz. I
do. Do you like a Campari Spritz?
Yes.
It's a superior drink.
Campari and soda, those little mini bottles that you get sometimes.
They are good.
Adore them.
The first ever RTD in history.
Great for 6 o'clock in the morning, first drink.
Before the Bloody Mary.
Yeah, of course. It's an aperitif.
Aperol Spritz, though, just transports me straight away to a happy place.
Oh, that's...
Nice. It's a holiday drink.
Venice.
Yeah, that'd be lovely. Shall we go? Let's go.
Next time. Aperol Spritz or Manhattan? Very different.
Very different.
What's a Manhattan again, Jack?
Whiskey.
Whiskey, vermouth, bitters.
Close to an old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned with extra wine.
It's an old-fashioned.
Aromatised, fortified wine, yeah.
Interesting.
Stick with the spritz?
I think of a spritz.
We're going to stick with the spritz.
Real men.
Aperol Spritz or Mojito?
Aperol Spritz.
Yeah, the thing I don't like about Mojito is the mint. Getting stuck, straw, in your teeth. Like, it's just,
You get the blockage with the crushed ice.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
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 And you very rarely get a good mojito.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a nightclub mojito.
He does a good mojito.
You'd hope.
And finally, Aperol Spritz or gin and tonic?
What?
Ooh.
Gotta mix it up.
Controversial.
But that's not a cocktail.
That's the controversial take.
Is a cocktail three ingredients and ice is
that's what I've heard.
No, I mean, a cocktail, the only time a cocktail's ever been defined was in 1804 in a paper, which was a drink containing sugar, water, alcohol and bitters. Now, that essentially was the only time. All these other drinks like Flips and Fizzes and Collinses all came under different umbrellas. Since the mid-1900s, they all got lumped under the one umbrella of cocktail. But originally, cocktail was just one type of drink. Mm. Sugar, water, alcohol and bitters, the most famous one of which is the old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at what the DNA of a gin and tonic is, you've got the alcohol, you've got the gin, you've got the water, which is the length, you've got the sugar, which is... And you've got the bitters, which is the quinine in the tonic. So it depends how you define it.
So just to remind everybody, They're my rules. So if we're saying gin and tonic or... I can't remember.
Aperol Spritz.
So if we're saying Aperol Spritz or gin and tonic.
I mean, you can't give... we can't end this on a gin and tonic.
No, you'll get this whole round.
This whole round belongs to Negroni.
But you can end it on an Aperol Spritz.
You can't end it on an Aperol Spritz.
I think you've f***ed yourself up here, lads.
I think we have a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. We could have stuck with the Negroni path. I think we're on a good line
there.
That's
respectable.
Yeah, if I had not let you go the old-fashioned route, we'd stuck with the margarita on question number one.
I'm sorry.
Margarita is the king.
It is the king. So are we saying...
So we're saying the best of all time is an Aperol Spritz.
Aperol Spritz.
Apparently.
Love it.
And I'm sticking with it.
Game over.
I have a T-shirt that says, Real Men Drink Spritzes.
That was really quick and fast. And I like a quick, fast round.
Good quick fire.
One thing I do want to come back to, though, was the talk of Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah.
So you loved it.
Yep.
I struggle
with it, yeah.
I think the Bloody Mary is one of the greatest gift that alcohol has ever given. Wow. It's acceptable to drink at breakfast.
For that reason, I agree.
Yeah, amazing.
My body doesn't agree with it at all. Mm.
Is it the tomato juice or the spice?
It's the pointless bit of celery in it.
No, that's the only time that celery should ever be in...
Anything.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm with you with that. But what I do hate is when, and a lot of people do this, particularly in Manchester, is you'll get like chicken wings in it. Chicken wing.
We had a
chicken wing in my drink.
We had a lobster Bloody Mary in Portland, Maine.
Which sounds lovely.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
You put f***ing fish in my drink.
Like a claw or a...
I think it was a tail. It was a lobster tail.
Nice. Yeah.
Is that lovely though, Jack? As a drink creator.
You don't order a Bloody Mary to get refreshed, do you?
You don't order it to get a chicken wing either.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you want something you can just... There was like the Bloody Mary wars for the last few years, right? I think it was social media. Yeah. It was getting out of hand. It was the easiest thing to put a f***ing burger on top.
Yeah. Yeah, mental.
You know, so who knows?
I'm all about the edible garnish.
For some reason, that just sounds creepy.
It does.
Sounds really creepy.
Never say edible again.
So I know you work together, but do you go out drinking together? Do you party together?
Party? Party? Less partying.
Less partying now than they used to be. Yeah. But I mean, we've known each other since we were 11.
Wow.
And so we grew up drinking together with the other two, Ben and Mike, and kind of the wider... schoolmates. And so, yeah, we still, even though we see each other most days of the week, we'll still go out at weekends with the wider school group as well. And if you ever met that wider school group, you'd realise where the sense of humour comes from for all of the sorties videos and where pretty much all of the bullying comes from aimed towards Ben.
Poor old Ben.
Poor old Ben.
No, I mean, you spend time with him.
The guy with the skills as well. He's the chef, right? He's the guy who...
Skills.
But what sort of places... So if you were going out, if it was just you sorted boys going out on your own, where would you go? Would you go to a pub? Would you go to a bar? Would you... Like, what's your...
But I think it's changed as we've grown up, hasn't it? It started... Spoons was absolutely fine back in the day. As time's gone by, Bermondsey, Beer Mile, a few cool places. We spent a lot of time in Soho as well, a few places. But then... As we've all got to the point of when we have kids, the time we have together is more and more precious.
Yeah.
So you end up picking really high quality bars and restaurants to kind of hang out in.
Because you have to make the most of it.
You realise that we've all gone through that phase of, going from Spoons or from the cheapest bottomless brunch that we can find that's
classy
in
boys.
Central London on a Saturday to...
Bellinis! Well, double Baileys!
Let's go to a nice place that does a bottomless brunch. Our tastes have definitely changed as we've got old and realised that actually... I think the big thing is we've realised it doesn't matter where we are. It sounds rubbish, doesn't it? But it matters that we're together and actually...
No, that's beautiful.
The four of us see each other fairly often, but we'll only see the other guys, once every couple of months. So you want to make the most of that time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter where we are at that point. We could be anywhere in the shittest pub in the world to the nicest restaurant in the world. If we're having a laugh, we're having a couple of beers.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I have that. I have a group of 10 lads from school.
You've not got 10 mates.
Bollocks. And no, and everybody tells me that's really unusual to have like a bunch of school friends in your late 30s and you're still hanging out with.
But it's what a great thing.
It's great because you can still revert back to like intense school ground bullying and it's totally acceptable. It's wonderful.
It does mean, particularly working with your school friends though, it means that you're never allowed to grow up. No. Like it means you're never allowed to escape your past. And the things that happened that you did when you were 16 years old and that kind of thing, they still get brought up today.
But that friendship, I think, is a massive part of why Sorted has been so successful, because that chemistry is so natural and it comes through in every video.
Yeah, you can tell you're all mates.
There's a comfort to what you do. And
great segue there, bring it back. Really good, that. Yeah.
Thanks, mate. But I think you watch Sorted, you can tell they're all mates. You watch this and you think, me, those lads don't know each other at all. Now, who put them together?
They don't talk when they're off the clock.
I've got to say, I'm coming to the end of my beer and I'm slowing down. Not because like I'm struggling, but because I don't want that to end.
It's a really
That's an amazing beer.
It's a great beer.
However,
I'm glad you agree.
The good news is that you are going to get your dream drink before you leave this place.
And again, do we have to
pressure.
Share?
No, you got your own. You got your own.
Wow.
But that's all coming up.
So your own dreams are coming true.
Right. That's all coming up. In a little bit. So what we like to do every now and again is give Jack a bit of a challenge. So we ask our guests to suggest an ingredient that they would like a drink made of, and we see what he can come up with. Mm-hmm. Now, what's your ingredient?
So ours was an ingredient we use a lot at the Sorted. We only kind of discovered it, five years ago, but now it's in everything. Got you, Jang.
Have you put it with any drinks before?
Of course not, because it's ridiculous.
Gochujang. Are we saying it?
Gochujang.
Fermented red pepper paste.
Is that what it is? I was going to ask. Okay.
Makes the main Bloody Mary.
I suppose it would, wouldn't it?
I suppose it would.
Yeah.
So it's just like an indusia sort of. It's just like a red paste.
Pepper. Yeah, it's got like a nice tang to it. It's got like a pretty big whack of garlic. Mm.
Yeah. It makes any spaghetti dish or udon noodle dish, unbelievable.
But you want it in booze.
I didn't say I want it in booze. I said, here's the challenge.
Yeah, if you want, guys, we can do the gochujang challenge.
Oh, no.
And these spoons are long enough here as well. There you go, John, take it.
Is it really spicy?
No, it's not.
It's not really spicy, no. It's funky.
I'm surprised you did that.
It's funky spice.
I'm surprised you did it, madman.
There you go, one for you as well.
No, I'm all right, thanks, Jack.
Give it.
Give the boys some.
It's good, actually.
It's lovely. The communal spoon.
Oh, yeah, we're here now, aren't we?
It is a bit.
Do a little one.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's actually not too salty.
It's complex.
Mm. It's really complex. Sweet. When I saw this come into the inbox, I was like, thank goodness, because I've already played around with some gochujang cocktails.
Really?
Ooh. I mean, like, with cocktails now, in the modern day, we kind of put, like, a dash of salt in everything.
Yeah.
And I've been fermenting loads of stuff, and, like, lactic fermentation has got a really, really lovely flavour profile. And it's just, like, sweet, salty, savoury, umami. So, yeah, naturally, it's going to go into, like, tequila territory.
Ooh. Here we go.
What's happening in my mouth now is I'm salivating like crazy, which is perfect for cocktails.
And also burning.
A little sip of that.
But yet you're remaining so calm about it.
I'm a professional.
Okay, all right. So I hope you don't mind that we've all eaten from this spoon, so we're just going to do this.
Disgusting.
So, big tub, innit? But it's quite forgiving. You can use quite a lot of it.
Yeah. You can use quite a lot of it. And you can mellow it out with butter and things like that. Oh. Or you can kick it up another notch with some more chilli.
Oh, you know, it's really good. If you make like a caramel and then just smash this into it, it's so delicious.
Well, that level of heat for me is probably like my ideal. I wouldn't want to go more spicy than that.
Just honestly, that with just a lamb, with a lamb, you cannot get any better.
Oh, man, yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
Nice.
Genuinely, just really fatty, bubbling, crispy lamb and gochujang.
Oof. What's that, Jack? What are you putting in there?
So we're just going to mix the gochujang into some sugar syrup, obviously with a cocktail. Just make a nice little sweet, salty, spicy base. And then we're going to go Paloma territory.
Okay.
Five.
So
no grapefruit.
Okay.
I mean,
this is a lovely double act. This is a lovely double act.
Oh, lovely! Yeah. And so Paloma, that classic tequila cocktail, salted rim. It's like a margarita with grapefruit soda, served long, really refreshing.
Okay.
So into this, we're going to go.
I think I'm going to like this.
20 mils of lime. in each one. We're doing four, I've got to remember. And also,
fresh grapefruit.
Yeah, freshly pressed pink grapefruit juice. The guys at the bar like to take the piss out of me because I'm... Oh, God.
Or drunk.
Because I'm a consultant. So they call me, oh, Jack, you're not a bartender anymore. You're a drinks designer. Because that's a bit of a piss take because it means I can't hold my own on dispensing service on a Saturday night.
But if you're a designer, you can justify the glasses.
This is very true. It's very Heston, isn't it?
More of an architect. Yeah.
Lovely tequila, Magenta.
I don't know that tequila, Jack. Is it good?
Magenta is lovely. It's B Corp, one of the very few tequila brands. And I'm going to go for a little bit of Espadin Mezcal for that little bit of earthiness.
Explore Mezcal. I had a bottle of that. Where did I get a bottle of Mezcal from?
I don't know. We're given it.
Yeah.
We sent it to you, didn't we?
Probably somebody sent it to somewhere.
Showering in booze at home.
Why hasn't anyone sent... If anyone wants to send us a bottle, please do.
Yeah, I do believe the Lost Explorer team are watching and they are listening. We just want to let you know. Just send it our way, because we like it.
That's a bit creepy, mate. That's bit creepy.
I liked it as well.
The guys who saw it love mezcal. Just to tie in the gochujang like with the cocktail, an additional bit of balance, just a little bit of rice wine vinegar, just to add like a bit more of a complexity so you're not getting just citric acid from the lime, you're getting this little bit of acetic coming through as well, just to link through that kind of fermented note.
Sounds great.
There's wine vinegar in a cocktail is completely as well. I feel like we could have used that as our mystery ingredient and that would have been...
A curveball, yeah.
Curveball, yeah.
Hard.
Well, they just made the same drink.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. You're not on the tequila train yet, are you?
No, but I'm thrown off it very quickly, usually.
Yeah.
I love tequila. It's my favourite... Well, if I'm not really a shot guy, but if I'm forced to have a shot... Tequila always.
Really?
Always.
I had a friend two or three years ago who got me into tequila. And I, until that point, all my memories of tequila were...
Sad things.
Our really memories of memories. Tequila, which are terrible shots of bottles of tequila which have a sombrero on the top of them.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then throwing up. That was my only memory. Or having to have salt and lemon. Mm. Right? But being introduced to... real tequila.
And being able to sip it.
Sip it.
Yeah.
Room temperature and sip it. And it actually tastes delicious. Yeah. And then learning about Blanco and Añejo and like just learning about it. I found this whole new world that I had no idea about.
That's just what's that going off at the two. Oh, I love your double handers.
Why is that funny?
We are rolling.
Do you remember that machine you can turn the handle?
Oh, yeah, I think I have one of them. I mean,
doing the double dip is fancy for the camera, but you don't get as an effective shake. Ooh.
You could tell you when you're getting a bit rusty because I actually threw a shaker at a guest the other day.
Wow.
Just because I got too excited.
Oh, by accident, then, you mean?
Did they pay extra for that?
Yeah, that was a comp tab.
Are you out of breath?
Yeah. Thanks for pointing that out.
I can't believe it.
Another little dig.
That wasn't a dig, it was an observation.
We're there.
It's an impressive rimming going on over there.
Stop, you know what you're doing there.
Excuse me?
You know what you're doing. Rimming.
Simon Rimmer.
Won't say enough for him. was that the last time you...
Hi, Simon. Your previous guest.
Simon Rimmer was a great guest.
He was a great guest.
He's a good man. He's a good man. Okay. Oh, did you watch it?
Yeah, I did watch it.
Oh, thanks, guys. At least someone is.
There was the one view we got. Now we know who it was.
Yeah, I did comment really badly on it, though. That was really What was the...
Look at the colour.
It looks like a Bloody Mary. It's a bit like a Bloody Mary, too.
What was the double pour from one shaker to the other?
That was just me fine straining any ice shards. Okay, a little bit of soda water. Lovely.
These look beautiful.
They actually really do look good.
Mm. Little babies.
Like carrot juice.
But how will it taste? Stick a chicken wing in it, please, darling.
You hate Bloody Marys. Well, we've made you a Bloody Mary.
A bit of Korean fried chicken in that.
No, this is far from a Bloody Mary, I would say. It's amazing how there's like one teaspoon between two drinks and it's come out that intense.
Yeah, isn't it? It really is.
Oh, look at that.
Here we go.
Talk to us about that rim.
What's the camera?
They had a dirty rim.
A little toggy rim.
Can we all stop saying things about rims?
Here we go.
Thank you.
Where's my rim?
Yeah.
You got no rim. No rim.
Stop
for you.
Saying rim.
Oh, it smells great.
Smells really great.
Oh, yeah.
And again, a bit like a Bloody Mary.
Smell of breath. I would do this on a Saturday night for like 6 hours. And once you get into the rhythm of it, yeah, you're like perpetually out of breath. So you kind of make it, you just lean into it. But a one-off.
They call it the rhythm of the night. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers,
boys.
Cheers, 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 cheers.
Do you regret just saying that about calling it the rhythm of the night?
No, I don't.
You're happy with it?
I was just trying to get it. It was rhythm when I was cheersing him.
I'm into it.
Oh, I really like it.
I think it's absolute overwhelming success.
This could be a way to like induct you into Bloody Marys, because it's not really a Bloody Mary, but it's got Bloody Mary notes.
I can taste things after sipping that.
Mm.
Bloody Mary just removes everything.
Complexity in that.
Yeah, there is.
There's so much going on.
I think the mixture of tequila and mezcal really gives you the sneezes, and it's...
famously.
Yeah, the mixture of tequila and mezcal is really nice.
A little bit of gentle heat there.
I think you guys are missing the rimming bit. Like that, there's a tickle there that I wasn't expecting.
I haven't gone on the rim side.
take a bit of rim.
I'm certainly not missing a rimming. Not even a bit.
Not a little bit.
Listen, while we think about rimming and he tops everyone up, I'd just like to say, if you do have a suggestion, if you want to send something in, anything to challenge Jack, an ingredient, be it savoury or sweet, liquid or solid, send it in. Jack will do his best.
That is really good.
It's weird to have like that super savoury, garlicky vibe, but it's actually not unpleasant.
It's the garlicky bit
that
was throwing me. Like, there's something very unusual about that drink.
The garlic.
But it's not the spice.
No.
It's not the pepper, weirdly.
No, but I think that's why it gives Bloody Mary vibes, is because of the vibes and... is because of the spice and the savoury element within a cocktail.
What I'm breathing out is so different to what I'm drinking.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
It's all like... You can't... smell the gochujang, but as you drink it, it then leaves you from your nose.
I'm going to start saying that. I'm going to pass that off of my own. I'm going to...
Surprisingly sessionable. I really wasn't expecting to be able to finish this drink.
Let's drink loads of it then. You boys must have tried some weird stuff over the years, be it drinks or food.
Yep.
Like what's... And I'm going to say this sentence just for the benefit of John, because I like this, but what's the weirdest thing you've put in your mouth? Like that.
2 weeks ago, walkie-talkies.
Walkie-talkies, was an interesting
in
one.
In your mouth.
Yep. Walkie-talkies. In Durban, in South Africa, we were introduced to walkie-talkies. The walkies being the feet of chicken.
Oh, and then what's the talkies?
Oh, no.
Well.
The talkies were the head of a cow. Talkies were delicious. Like, again, you've had pig's cheek before,
yeah,
and ox cheek, absolutely delicious. But the combination being sold to you as walkie-talkies was wonderful.
As a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, two separate dishes.
Okay.
But you have the walkies and the talkies. And the cow's head was like stewed down, and it was super tender, really, really moist. Like one of the best beef dishes that you could imagine having. It was delicious.
The talkies.
The walkies
were exactly what you'd expect.
It just...
Is it like chicken feet in like a Chinese restaurant where they're just like really gristly and you just gnaw on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have flavour. Like
yeah.
No, because this was in a... we were in a Zulu tribe.
Yeah.
Where no flavourings. Just like literally we saw the chickens running around and they're like, that one...
Was one
hour
limping.
Ago.
One was limping.
Yeah, that was challenging in that environment. But actually, those two things probably not the weirdest things.
Did you finish it?
No,
not the walkies. Not carefully hid underneath.
Yeah,
something
else on
the plate. Yeah. What's interesting about our job is that we get to try food from around the world, and what we quite quickly learn, particularly when you're putting it out on the internet, and there are people from around the world that watch that content, is that what we're eating isn't weird, it's just that we're not used to it.
It's just different, yeah.
It's just very different. Yeah, yeah. And more often than
takes
not, it's texture rather than flavour that takes a long time to get used to. But it's when you combine the texture and the flavour.
And you get tripe.
Yeah, I quite like tripe.
Oh, do you? Whoa!
I don't mind tripe.
Do you?
Yeah,
tripe. Never met a person who likes tripe.
No.
Or I'm an anomaly.
What's the Japanese fermented natto?
Natto.
Oh, natto. What's natto?
It's challenging.
Is that the same? Really challenging. Yeah. Challenging.
Yeah. Oh. It's like a mucus on soybean.
That's natto for me.
It's so stringy and like, yeah. But it's just mainly. I mean, the texture is not even the worst thing. I think the smell is so intense. But apparently, natto has been attributed for one of the primary reasons why Japanese people live so long.
Is it?
Yeah.
But all the things like that always are.
I think they're clutching at straws.
In Japan, I mean, obviously, they've got like the highest proportion of people living over 100 than anywhere else in the world. It's mainly because of their diet, lots of fermented food, but most traditional Japanese households will have natto every morning for breakfast.
But that's what old people always say. In this country, if you make it to 100 or 90 and you're on the local BBC News, they'll always... What's the secret to long life? Gin and fags. They always say. They always say it. So crack on, I say.
Yeah, enjoy yourselves.
Now, Sawhid, I know you like a taste test.
Yes.
You guys love a taste test.
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought we'd get in on the action. Mm-hmm. And we have got our own taste test, which we're hoping you'll join in with.
Okay.
We haven't done a taste test.
This is
our first taste test.
Yeah, I think so. In tribute to the Sorting
Boys. So you can
boys.
See three beer mats in front of you. Beer mats? Not for beers. We're going to do canned cocktails.
Ooh,
so we've got three different canned cocktails from three different producers. We're going to try them. We've obviously got a professional bartender ready to be offended when we tell him the canned versions are better than the ones that he makes.
Which they will be, inevitably.
I just don't like it when they say bartender quality cocktails. It makes me cry.
The rhyme.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah.
First one? Where are we starting?
First, we're going to start off because, you know, we're going to start with something bitter, a little aperitivo.
Who threw that?
Honestly, can't take you anywhere.
It's the joke that keeps on giving them, isn't it? It's my favourite pub joke.
Oh yeah.
Thank you. So this is the Negroni.
From White Box. I mean, you can't really mess up a Negroni in a can because the recipe is so simple.
Really?
We've got quite a lot of that canned in the fridges at our studio.
Yeah.
Of White Box.
Yeah, and they...
that's great.
That is my train journey home.
Cheers.
A few times a week. Once every now and then.
You've gone pro here. We've got the ice block. We've got the orange garnish.
Yeah, I mean, all the work's done for you. So the least you can do is have your glass chilled, have a nice garnish, have a nice bit of ice. You know, I love these guys because it's actually made by bartenders, people who have actually bartended. Brilliant. And, you know, they understand that you don't need to have a big old can and dilute it down to 5% just because that's what people think that they want.
Exactly that, mate.
You know, this is actually 21.8%. It's the same strength as a regular Negroni.
That is a beautiful Negroni.
Yeah, and do you know what? It really is as well. It's a nice drink.
We've talked on Sorted quite a lot about the rise of premium cocktails in cans over the last few years. These guys are definitely doing some of the best, I think, Negronis that I've ever had in a can.
Hands down.
Yeah.
The best of anything. Anything that they make is pretty much bang on.
Wow, that's quite an endorsement.
Wow.
I think with canned cocktails, if it's like a booze and sweetness and vermouth, like an old-fashioned, it's pretty easy to nail, obviously, apart from the levels of sweetness. But as soon as you introduce acid... and you need to do like a margarita analog or a porn star martini, that's when the big starts becoming more challenging because it's harder to preserve. You know, the secret of an acidic cocktail is actually more often than not the fact that it's shaken. Yeah. And then you're injecting it with energy and effervescence and those micro bubbles, which you just can't achieve in a can. Yeah.
We have lots of things to say, apparently.
Go on, then.
That's my go-to drink on a Friday night at home in terms of like, I've put the kids down to bed. No one else is drinking. And you want
especially
one...
Especially not the kids.
I know, exactly. I want drink for one. That's my go-to drink.
Yeah.
It's a good perfect size.
It's lovely.
Beautiful can.
Do you know how they started?
The company?
Yeah.
No?
So they actually started with the Negroni and it was a mailbox Negroni. It was just called, it was Send a Negroni. That was the name of the company. And this was their little figure. And if you just liked someone, instead of sending them a greetings card, you could just mail them a Negroni.
Was
and
that it came
in a
COVID?
Little bag. Yeah, during
yeah,
COVID.
I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool.
Really good.
Okay. Well, as much as I love it, let's try the next one.
Okay.
So we're shifting up a gear. This is the Hot Honey Margarita from Tom Savana.
I do like a margarita.
Now, I'm apprehensive and excited because I've tried a Negroni from Tom Savano. Wonderful. So I know that they can make really good drinks. But margarita, it's got acid in it, so...
Proper acid?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Lecky.
I know, right?
Have you served yourself and then you're double serving yourself?
Oh, sorry, John. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Did he not give you a drink?
Sorry.
Mean
sorry,
man, you
I teed
are,
it up as well.
Here we go.
So this is obviously a play on the old spicy marg. Mm. We talked about those before.
I like spicy marg.
The picante, as it's otherwise known, but this is
ooh,
a
hot again, honey trend. Ooh, it's so good. It is so good.
I come by surprise.
If you told me that without me seeing and gone, I've just made this for you, I'd believe it.
The problem I have with these drinks is not... Actually, the guys from Tom Savano have created a very well-balanced cocktail. It's very, very nice. It might be a little bit too spicy for the general public.
It's quite spicy.
Yeah, but the problem I have is that when you shake a cocktail, two things happen. There's a huge amount of energy that's put into it, and for, I don't know the physics of it. Maybe you guys can explain it to me.
Physics experts. Of course, what we've got you here for.
But the ice is at 0 degrees. The booze and juice is at room temperature. When you shake it, it gets down to -4, -5 degrees. And that temperature differential is what, when it hits your palate, it's, in my mind, that's what a cocktail is. It's like bracingly cold and so alive with like aeration. And you just don't get it when it comes to it. You know, Negroni's fine because it's a stirred cocktail. You're not expecting the aeration. You are expecting the temperature, but you can put that in the freezer. So I would recommend, as long as it's over 15% ABV, to whack it in the freezer.
So have you tried Shaka cans?
Shaka cans?
Yes, Shaka cans. Yes.
Yeah. Rocky Shaka
and they've got that cool little...
And they've got the little shaking thing that you put on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
And you actually shake. So they give you a can that is far bigger than the amount of liquid that's inside.
It feels
so
like you've been shortchanged.
It does feel like you've you pick it up and...
Hang on a minute.
You pick it up and go, oh, why is that so light? But it's only half filled, so you can shake it.
Right.
And then it has... dispenser on the top,
yeah,
that you can put on, so it does give you a little bit more of the aeration of a shaken cocktail. Well,
it's quite spicy though.
It's more spicy than I thought it would be if they're trying to get it out to the wider public. Right, last one. Let's go.
Okay,
we are finishing with a very, very popular cocktail.
Ooh.
This is from Moth. They call it the passion fruit martini. You may know it as the porn star martini. Passion fruit, vanilla, vodka.
Do you find canned cocktails generally lead with sweetness?
I would say, yeah.
I find they're very smooth and quite sweet to begin with, and then as you drink it, you get more of the spice or the bitterness.
So that's a very interesting point, and again, this is down to temperature. Sweetness perception is completely different depending on the temperature you're serving your drink at. For example, you make an old-fashioned and you make it hot, the sugar perception is much more muted in a cold drink than it is hot. So if you're making a hot toddy, for example, you can kind of play around with sweetness a little bit more because you're going to perceive that sugar a lot easier. Okay. Whereas when you've got a cold drink, the flavour on your palate is muted. It's okay for alcohol because as a solvent, ethanol is really, really intense. But with water and things that are dissolved in water, like sugar, it's much more subtle.
2.7 ethanol, please.
Deep.
It is. But listen, I can already smell this.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that.
It does smell nice, but I know I'm not going to like it.
Really?
Porn star martini, it's not for me. It's
very,
too sweet.
Very, very vanilla.
And may I just say, it's the worst name of any drink I've ever heard.
Cheers.
That was an exuberant cheers.
Do we not think? Porn star martini.
Yeah, but
shit, no.
Douglas, who invented it, is dead now, so you've got to be nice to him.
Do you not get the shot?
Is he dead?
The second on the side?
He won't be upset.
I think that is...
Porn star, I'm getting the vanilla.
Delicious. I've got a sweet tooth.
Thing is...
Okay. I've got a sweet tooth,
so I'm into that.
That surprisingly isn't sweet enough.
No, you are. You need a bit of lime, mate. But it needs a bit sour.
I don't think that's sweet enough.
So I really like the moth margaritas.
Yeah?
I think the moth margaritas are really good.
As a brand, is it the brand I see in Tesco Express?
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's my local supermarket.
Four for three.
Yeah.
Like on all canned. Like,
and therefore, I associate it with a bit of a shit drink. But actually, like, served in that way, it serves a purpose.
I mean, this is in like a £20 Scandinavian glass, so it does actually.
Right, mate.
The glass is worth more than the drink.
No, but the point is that when you drink, drink with your eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a sensory experience, and also it's location.
It just looks like someone's poured a lager into my little cocktail glass.
That's all right.
But I think if you're comparing that to a porn star martini, it is a porn star martini in a can.
What is everybody's favourite of all the delicious tinned cocktails that we've had?
I'm going to go first, so I'm not the bad cop. I'm going to go with the Negroni.
I've had Negroni a lot, but the spicy lager.
Surprise me.
I am surprised at how good that Negroni is compared to a non-canned Negroni.
Yeah.
That is very good.
Yeah. I'm going to say, the Negroni was so impressive as a tinned drink. It tasted great. But then I had the hot honey margarita, and it really is good. And it's got a real kick. Mm. Often when you get like the pre-packaged stuff, they'll dial it down a little bit so they can appease everyone. Mm. But that's good, man. That's good.
For me, I love the Negroni. I've had it a lot. I think everything White Box do is brilliant, but the Porn Star.
Ah, but you're a big fan of a Porn Star, aren't you? Like, the drink, lads, the drink.
I think the Porn Star is sweet. It's a little bit complex. It's still got the booze coming through.
A little bit complex?
Yeah. I mean, no more complex than you.
Is it time for another game?
I think it is, mate.
Should we bring on the games? All right. We're going to get to know your drinking preferences. You've got to agree, again. We need to know your combined...
It went so well last time.
Your combined decision. Cooking or eating?
Eating.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Beer or wine?
Beer.
Air fryer or oven?
Air fryer.
Oh!
Yeah.
Why are you so on trend?
Why do you need an oven when you've got an air fryer?
Okay.
He's right.
Air fryer.
Sweet tooth or savoury tooth?
This is...
Go.
I was going to...
Savoury tooth.
Whiskey or gin?
Go for it.
Do you have to pick one?
No, I'm getting it.
Are you sure?
Go, go. Three, two, one.
Gin.
Whiskey. I love how much you're in harmony together.
I know. I love whiskey. Whiskey does not love me.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Okay, cool.
That is the problem.
Okay, cool.
But I love whiskey.
I'm called gin.
That's like me and my wife.
Pepsi or Coke?
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah,
it's not interesting. 3, 2, 1.
Coke.
Fat chips or skinny fries?
Skinny fries.
Wow.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Value for money.
Depends what you have it with.
Value for money. You get fat chips, triple cooked, chunky chips.
Yeah, but skinny fries, surface area, more crispy. Oh.
Yeah, but you can dip it in the mayo and get more mayo on the chip. Mm.
Fight!
Like three skinny fries in the place of one fat chip when you're dipping.
And then imagine how much salad cream you can get on those.
More fat than potato.
Yeah. Imagine how much salad cream you can get on them.
I do like a triple cooked
fry. Are we going back to cocking it
all? Yeah, hang on a minute.
Yeah. Salad cream.
I f***ing love salad cream.
Can we just
I am keeping the salad cream industry alive.
Yeah, but with chips?
Yes.
Well, that's your preferred dip.
Yeah, if I don't have pizza, then I'll have it with chips, yeah.
Get him a taxi, mate. Kyle, get him a taxi. We're done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
If anyone has salad cream with salad, they actually need to be shot. So it needs to be consumed with anything else.
Yeah.
Fat chips or skinny fries?
Oh, he's sticking with it.
I'm happy with fat chips. Chips.
Cider or beer?
Beer.
Gordon Ramsay or Jamie Oliver?
Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, really? Straight off the bat. We're all friends as you.
Gordon.
Yeah?
Gordon.
Pint or cocktail?
Pint.
Good lads.
Pint off cocktail. Fast food or fine dining?
I think.
They weren't written to be easy.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Go for fast food.
Fast food, yeah.
Yeah. Fast food. Yeah.
Easy. Sunday roast or barbecue?
Oh, no. Because I know what your answer
is. 3, 2, 1. Sunday roast.
You're so in sync, you boys.
You want this to be fast. That's not good. I can't.
Who said Sunday roast?
I know what you mean.
You have a barbecue. You've been to Austin twice, mate. You've had many Sundays.
Yes, but I also bought a proper smoker.
And you want to justify the cost of your smoker? Yes, barbecue.
Let him justify it. Let him say it.
I love a big hunk of meat that I cooks know. For 12 you, hours, you 18
do, you
hours.
You do pack, but yeah. I would say...
I do love a Sunday roast.
Sunday roast.
Sunday roast. Yes, I can't back out.
Chocolate or cheese?
You're all...
I thought we were best friends.
What are you saying? You're saying cheese?
I'd say cheese.
Over chocolate?
Yeah, I think so.
Cheese slice or a chocolate finger?
I think... Dairy-ly.
I think I'm happy to go cheese on this one.
Okay. Cheese. I did go, yeah.
A good cheese.
Cookbook or YouTube how-to?
YouTube how-to. Can't make money. Can't make money from
that's how we earn a living.
We agreed on something. Classic cocktails or new creations?
3, 2, 1.
Classic cocktails.
Nice. Spicy or mild?
3, 2, 1.
Spicy.
Yeah, I was going to join in there. I knew you were going to say that.
And finally, table seat or at the bar?
Ooh.
Remember
at the bar. Oh, sorry, at the bar.
At the bar.
Remember the name of the podcast.
Oh, shit, is that what we're doing? Right,
this
now.
Is a podcast. There's no microphone.
At the bar.
At the bar.
It's more nicer, isn't it? It's more social, yeah.
So, on the show, as I'm sure you know, we like to introduce a dream drink to our guests. You're our guests. Mm-hmm. And we have decided... I say we, Jack. Yeah. Jack has decided... what he thinks your dream drink will be. And you've based this on what, Jack?
Yeah.
Based on a little bit of research.
Yeah.
You know, I actually trawled through some old videos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Found nothing useful. And luckily, the questions you submitted before the podcast were very, very helpful.
Okay.
So I've created a cocktail that I think both of you will enjoy... but they're very, very different.
Oh, so have they got one each?
One each, yes.
Oh, what a lovely man.
We don't have to have the same answer.
Hallelujah.
You know you're independent people.
Okay.
And it's challenging because, Jamie, for yours, both of you really didn't reference your dream drink a cocktail at all. Or any example of a cocktail.
Do you mean they gave you shit answers?
Somewhat.
Yeah, I'm too busy for this.
They gave me some direction, which was really, really hard to recate. So, you know.
Yeah, so thanks,
we'll
boys.
We'll see what we can do there.
He's having a go at you there, isn't he?
Jamie, we're going to do you first. I hope you don't mind.
Perfect.
Okay, so in other answers, not your dream drink, you said you're partial to a tequila, and you guys obviously had a little bit of a domestic about that in the past.
Uh-huh.
Tequila, margaritas. So we're going to stay in that territory because we know that people that drink margs are very, let's say, zealous about loving a marg.
Wow.
You love a marg.
I think they are. They're quite militant, aren't they? Marg drinkers are militant, as are martini drinkers.
What am I looking for? But I think with margaritas, you know, it's a really good vehicle for showcasing other flavours.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of complex flavours you can layer into, like a classic margarita spec, to really start having some fun with it. So we're going for a classic margarita with a little something-something. So if I can ask my dear producer Carl to bring over a little garnish.
He's going rogue again. This is new. Bringing on his Debbie McGee.
Sorry, a garnish.
A garnish, yeah.
A freaking garnish.
Oh, wow. That's not a garnish, mate.
He's got pants on.
That's steak and chips.
That is some garnish.
That is my kind of garnish.
I mean, listen, I'm purely going on the answers you gave me. So just think back to what you answered on the questionnaire.
Why don't you remind us of what they said?
Jamie, you said that some of your happiest memories in life were in Spain.
Yep.
At a restaurant called Maison Pepper.
Maison Pepper.
Maison Pepper.
Or more affectionately, Tony's.
Restaurant. And you're having these lovely steaks and a nice glass of Rioja.
Yep.
So I've tried to really channel that vibe. We're very lucky to upstairs have the Heliot Steakhouse, which makes some of the best steak possible. I think it's chips.
That's my garnish.
My garnish.
My garnish.
And I actually love, I love kind of breaking the mold when it comes to what should come with a steak. I think cocktails in the right category pair wonderfully with food. So we're doing like a bit of a Margarita Diablo kind of thing.
I was going to say, what's happening here? Now we're definitely going
this around. Is a nice bottle of Rioja.
Oh, he's off his head.
And have you ever had a New York sour?
No.
It's a whiskey sour with a little float of some claret. You know, it's not unheard of to get a little float of some red wine.
Do we all get a steak or do we just have to?
Oh, my goodness. Steak?
I don't think we're getting a steak, Tom.
No, you're not getting a steak.
Have you ever
and so
had a ice?
This is trying to channel your happiest times with, you know, some of your most delicious times. Wow. So this is a little Margarita Diablo.
But he looks like such a sad man. If you had
a nice, juicy fillet steak, and if I'm not mistaken, served perfectly rare.
Perfectly rare.
With a little red wine jus.
Unbelievable.
Tuck in, Jamie.
No, do you want the room? Because I feel uncomfortable being in your presence right
I'm
now.
I'm uncomfortable being fully clothed.
We've got a very special dream drink for you.
Okay.
A very special dream drink.
Okay. Do you recommend the steak before the drink or the drink?
I mean, just I would get into the steak first. I want to see how well Chef cooked it.
Why haven't we got little bits to try?
I mean, I'm sure we can all share. Oh.
I've never seen a man more territorial.
lovely bit of fillet there.
Beautiful steak.
Oh, yeah, and you notice how we just gave you like a standard butter knife?
Yeah, a butter knife.
Yeah, wow.
Good.
Jamie, that's pulsating.
Where's the steak from, Jack?
Upstairs, Chef Yannis, he's also known as the meatologist trademark.
The meatologist.
A fantastic, fantastic steak restaurant in the Hippodrome.
Oh.
How's that? Doesn't matter how good the drink is at this point.
Yeah, the drink's that is irrelevant. The best cocktail I've ever had.
It's got a good mouthfeel. Yeah.
Really good mouthfeel.
Yeah, now, have a little sip.
Very chewy.
Really interesting.
And the best thing about this is you're going to get that kind of smoked citrusy salt first, then you're going to get the red wine, then you're going to get the tequila and the citrus.
Well, the opiates, mate.
Such an interesting mix.
That means you don't like it.
No, I really like it, but I never, ever would have considered putting red wine on the margarita. That feels like, it feels like an accident. However, like it tastes like it was supposed to be there.
So some of my favourite cocktails have got this, you know, with most sours have got like, most cocktails sweet and sour and strong. But when you add an element of wine, you also get tannin. So it's not detracting from sweet and sour, it's just adding a different layer of complexity. The same thing could be said for my favourite cocktail of all time, which is the London Calling, which is, you know, a gin sour with Fina Sherry. Delicious.
That's actually pretty good, man.
I really like that.
Yeah, I do.
And what's your dirty rim?
A little citrus salt.
Citrus
salt? Yeah, it's more than that, mate. Don't lick the glass.
No, it's not your dream drink.
Try that.
You're a guest here.
It's delicious.
His dream drink's just a salty rim.
That is outstanding.
I think
I can see exactly what that's doing.
You don't like tequila.
That is spectacular.
But a great margarita has that acidic level to it that's not too sweet, not too salty, not too acidic, but it has everything. When you add Rioja into...
I'm all for that.
And the complexity of a Rioja as well, and the boldness and the punch in the face of Rioja.
That's fun.
It is fun. Fun is a really good word for it.
There's another drink to come.
What do you mean another drink to come?
We've got another drink.
I've got mine here, mate.
There's two of them.
He's got a f***ing pint of gravy. He's happy.
Are you sure?
I'm going to try a bit.
Go to the steak.
Got it, one more drink.
It's good steak. So, Baz, are you ready, mate? Don't worry, we haven't forgot about you.
I've got gravy, I'm happy.
Baz is happy.
All right.
Are you happy with him calling you Baz, by the way?
I'll take him. It's fine. We'll go with that.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Right, I don't want to fit into a stereotype.
You know, you're a bit of an adrenaline junkie, from what I hear.
Are you, mate? I've not got that vibe.
Yeah, I got that vibe straight away.
I said, in the questions I asked about the dream drink, it always came down to at the end of an adventure of some sorts. And my examples were, which I hate to admit now, were after finishing skiing or water skiing or something of that thing where you've put out some energy.
Always ski related.
In a beautiful location, then a drink is what is kind of like tops off the moment.
Yes.
Totally agree. And you specifically said, and that's cold beer or something of the ilk.
You've got Jaeger. You've got Jaeger bombs.
So, you know, in the classic après ski moment, you know, you're smashing a Jaeger. It's ice cold straight from the freezer.
Yeah.
You got a really cold beer, a cold tankard. Put those on, please.
Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, you've been down the mountain, so we're going to just get you nice and lubricated.
What's that?
That's just some water. And what we're going to do is we're going to top this up with a nice winter spice hot foam for like, so we're going to have that contrast of hot and cold.
Mm. You're going to blast that in his face as well.
Imagine.
What is this?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. There we go.
You don't know if you like
it. Like a pint of lager.
Okay. There we go. And before you sip, we just got to give you the garnish.
Sorry, this isn't the garnish.
Just a little bit of snow. No, close your mouth.
Hey, now, fire!
It's sabotage!
Why didn't you tell me you were going to do that?
It's on my steak!
There we go. Take that off. And quickly, whilst it's still warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's warm! Why is it warm?
The top is warm.
Why is my beer warm?
Tip it back. Here we go. You're getting the contrast. You're getting the glue vine. You're getting the cold pint.
You are. Oh, God.
It's got a bit.
That's a lot to take.
How lucky are you?
I'm very lucky.
I feel like we've made a dream come true.
Yeah. I think so.
Chewing my beer.
It's a dream drink.
It doesn't look like a man whose dreams have come true.
You know, I don't think he's enjoyed that one bit.
What's the name of your mate you bully all the time?
Ben.
I felt a bit bad for Ben.
So. Straight away, Ben. Or Ben.
I know who you mean. I'm on 7 o'clock.
Can I try a bit of your dream drink?
Mm. Without
the garnish.
Go on, you can take your goggles off.
I'm not going to lie, the Jägermeister and that pretentious beer, the combination is delicious. Why is it warm?
Oh, well, foam.
There's a warm foam on top, a little winter spice glue viney job.
Oh, that is delicious.
It's meant to be
just
like
avoid
that.
Avoid the snowflakes.
Yeah,
the delicious. The warm foam is what completes that.
Yeah, never mind avoiding the snowflakes. Why did you avoid me? How did that get passed all the way over there without me?
You were chipping.
Yeah.
That takes me straight to a German Christmas market.
Yeah.
Mm. Like a really shit.
That's good time.
Yeah, it's in Birmingham.
I'm not even joking, but do you want me to clean you up a bit with the with the leafra?
Okay. It's perfect.
Just to let you know that this was entirely brought on by yourselves, because every At The Bar episode has been very, very safe and you know, normal territory. But after, you know, watching Sorted for a few years, we thought, how do we bring Sorted at the bar?
How do you lower the tone?
Yeah, lower the tone.
How can we be as bad as them?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're welcome.
No, how do we
bring
you.
Some chaos?
Listen, lads, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you for having us.
I hope you've had a nice time at the bar.
Definitely.
It's been incredible.
Because we've really enjoyed having you. I think we speak really for everyone. And thank you for watching. And remember, if you want to see more, check us out on wherever you get your podcasts, as long as wherever you get your podcasts is Apple and Spotify, because we're not on anything else.
And YouTube as well.
Oh, and YouTube. Don't forget YouTube. Laters.